Robert Baer, who spent 2 decades overseas as a case officer for the Central Intelligence Agency, says these days the CIA is scared of its own shadow. By 1995, Baer writes in a new book, in practical terms, the CIA had taken itself out of the business of spying. No wonder, he continues, we didn't have a source in Hamburg's mosques to tell us Muhammad Atta was recruiting suicide bombers for the biggest attack ever on American soil. Robert Baer served in Iraq, Lebanon, India, Tajikistan, among other postings. His job always was to recruit spies, to find people who would betray their own country or cause. His language skills helped. He became fluent in Arabic. And after the 1983 suicide bombing at the U.S. Embassy in Beirut, he had a special interest in Islamic fundamentalism.
In 1986, the Syrian Muslim Brotherhood approached us and said they wanted a meeting. I went to the meeting in Germany. And I was picked up by a whole group of them and driven to a house. And this man proposed that we assassinate Hafez al-Assad, the president of Syria. We obviously didn't want to, and I told him that. He wanted to continue to keep up the contact. He was head of a major cell of the Syrian Muslim Brotherhood. I don't think he was vulnerable. But the point was, I was introduced at that point into a milieu where I could meet these people. By simply getting in among these people and talking to them and speaking their language, you have a much better chance of penetrating a fundamentalist group than not talking to them at all. The Syrian Muslim Brother was never met again. We just stopped meeting those people. And the ironic thing is that one of Atta, the presumed head of the World Trade Center attack, was part of that same group.
Muhammad Atta?
Muhammad Atta. Now, whether I would have ended up knowing his plans or not, I don't know. But the point is that once we cut off contact with the Muslim Brotherhood, we didn't have a chance.
What year are you talking about now?
This is 1986.
1986?
Mm-hmm.
And you're talking about Muhammad Atta?
Muhammad Atta didn't show up later, but it was the same milieu. And this man, this Syrian, Dark Azali, who was a terrorist, he's wanted in Syria, was part of the same group.
You write about going to London in the early 90s and walking down the street and reading the Arabic religious tracts that are there. Tell us about that.
Edgware Road, just walked around there, you know, go up there for lunch or whatever, and you go in these bookstores, and they were full of these European publications which called for a jihad against the United States. They all had post office boxes on them. And I was curious, who were these people? And were they just writing, or were they planning other things? And we had nobody looking into it.
You went back to the CIA office and said, what do you guys make of these pieces of paper, and have you looked into them?
And they said that's a British problem, you know.
It's a British problem.
Yeah, we don't spy in Britain.
But you're also saying that, too, that there was not an Arabic speaker in the London CIA office?
At that time, there wasn't.
At that time.
There was nobody dedicated to following the Islamic community inside Britain. It was discouraging, of course, because we all knew that these communities were springing up everywhere. We didn't know what they were doing, though.
Hmm. Do you think if you went back into service now or had a couple of years ago, that you could have gone someplace in the Middle East and recruited somebody who was close to the Al-Qaeda network?
Yeah, absolutely. Remember, these people are poor, they're desperate, and John Walker got into Qaeda. Why couldn't we find a poor Muslim who believed in the United States, that wanted a salary, and send him into Saudi Arabia, send him into Yemen to join? How would they ever know? I don't see the problem in this.
You think it could have been done?
Oh, absolutely.
You're very critical of the CIA, and yet around the world, at the moment, there are courageous CIA employees willing to risk their lives. And Johnny Spann of the CIA died in Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. What's been their response to you for this criticism?
Well, this is the first time I've gone public, but I tried to make the book not critical of the CIA. I tried to make the book critical of the political influence, which weakened it. I hope people read this book and want to join the CIA, because it was a lot of fun. And I'm not angry what the CIA did to me. It did nothing to me. It gave me a medal when I left. I'm angry that we allowed this to fall apart.
You write that, "I think we should all be incensed that the courageous passengers of United Airlines Flight 93, this is the one that went down in Pennsylvania, were the White House's first and only line of defense on September 11, not the CIA or the FBI or the INS."
I believe that.
But couldn't that be just a overreaching to make a point here? I mean, that could have happened if the CIA had not changed over the years.
We could have missed it, but we would have had a better chance of catching it if we hadn't changed the rules after the Cold War, became less aggressive. And I think it is outrageous that we spend $30 billion a year on intelligence and we didn't even have a hint that this was coming. I think it could have been stopped, and I think that the CIA, once we dispassionately sit down again, figure out what we need to do, will come back.
Mr. Baer, thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Robert Baer, he's now retired from the CIA. His book is called See No Evil.